Welcome to the Brand Party Podcast. I'm your host, Christine from CL Designs. If you know me, execution and getting shit done is my middle name. This podcast will energize you to invest in your brand in new ways. Join me for tips, insights, and actions you can take to make your brand a priority in your business. My guests and I deliver honest, to-the-point advice you can implement right away. Your brand is worth celebrating. It can be fun, and I'll show you how. Let's get this party started. Elena Catherine was born and raised in Niagara Falls, Ontario. 10 years ago, she relocated to Toronto to complete her special events planning and marketing degree at George Brown College. And over the past 10 years, she has built her content, social media, and email marketing expertise while working for leading B2B and B2C startups in Toronto. Elena is an expert in crafting impactful content that builds brand awareness and gets you measurable results. One of her passion projects is photography. She provides creative direction and provides high quality content for models, influencers, top health and beauty brands such as Head & Shoulders, Venus, and Matrix Biolage. Here's Elena. Well, thank you so much, Elena, for joining in on the fun for the Brand Party podcast today. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. Honestly, I really appreciate it. It's an honor to be on your Brand Party podcast.
Yeah, we've had such good conversations so far. So I'm excited to have you on the show finally as well. And definitely to dive right in then, how does Brand Party resonate with you? What does that mean to you?
For me, branding is essentially like the backbone of your business, what people see from your business. And it's just something to be exciting about you. And it shows what colors resonate with you and what you want to be known for and any types of graphics that you have, essentially. And it's just, branding is fun. It's fun. Yeah, I love branding. I do some branding stuff for my clients too. So Brand Party to me, you know, like the colors that you have are so vibrant. So it comes across as like fun and exciting branding. And yeah, just something that you want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really draws people in. I feel like when your personality actually comes across too, I think there's so much out there. I'm sure we'll dive a little bit into this too, but in the world of social media and digital growing more and more every day, that to see another like pastel pink that doesn't actually resonate with the feeling that they're trying to emulate or the vision or mission that they're looking to communicate is just, it's a bit daunting.
Yeah. And essentially like it's your personality, but in a brand form, right? Mm-hmm. It's like who you are, what you represent.
Yeah, absolutely. And so for those people who are feeling overwhelmed by their branding and design challenges right now, what would you say to them?
I would say pick like three colors and just roll with that and just stay consistent with the colors and your hex codes and stay consistent with the fonts that you use. Only use about 2 to 3 fonts, I would say. And then have some contrast too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, accessibility is really a good thing to play into it for sure. And I think a lot of people have mentioned that they feel stuck sometimes when they are quote unquote limited to maybe like 2 fonts, for example, or like 3 main colors or whatever that looks like for their palette. But I think like you're mentioning, it can be so much more fun once you have those really strong pillars.
Colors. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you also have to keep in mind, like you want to be known for that specific color palette, that specific font. Like you don't want to be all over the place with your branding because then you're not going to become memorable, right?
Exactly. Like when you're confused, then how do you expect other people to be clear or confused also in that sense?
Totally agree.
And so during the pandemic, I think one thing that I have learned significantly is that experience is absolutely essential and key. And that remains true, whether it's online or in real life. But I love that you're all about organic marketing as well, because it can work and it will build so much more trust in the long run, I feel like. So just to set the stage a little bit, no matter where listeners are in their journey, what exactly is organic marketing and why is it important?
No problem. So essentially, organic marketing is anything online, digital, whether it's like your website, copy, images, your social media, email marketing can be organic, blogging is organic. So essentially anything digital that you haven't paid for, you haven't bought an ad for, that is organic. Yeah, it's just a way to build more of a trustworthy following rather than paying for an ad. You know, like you just don't seem, you know, it's more in your face. Ads are more in your face when you just have the organic traffic come to you, then they'll be more likely to buy from you.
Yeah, that's really true. And when would you say is the time to invest in organic marketing versus paid?
Right away. You want to invest in that right away. And it is the most cost-effective way of, to do your marketing anyway. Like you could spend thousands of dollars on ads and not get nearly as many views as organic can bring in, like with social media especially, right? Like Instagram and TikTok, you are more likely to be seen there organically cheaper than paying for ads, you know what I mean? So you want to start right away. That's your best bet. I would start with organic rather than paid first, for sure.
Yeah. And I feel like once you know also a better understanding of who that is, then you can kind of take that information and insights a little bit further into a very specific thing that you want to pay and put your money towards on that table, if it is that paid approach for a campaign or a launch or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. If you feel like you need the extra support and maybe you're not getting the results you had hoped for, but I feel like if you have a strategy in place, then you should get some really good, decent results. Yeah, that's what I think for sure.
And so you've been named number 2 out of 1,321 firms on Clutch's as a market leader. So congratulations, first of all. That's major. So what are the 3 biggest pitfalls that you see when it comes to brands trying to create that strong, authentic experience, especially online?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, a lot of brands don't understand that you really need to show your face. You need to get on video. You need to show up and just be the person also behind the brand. You know what I mean? You can't just have a brand with no face anymore. Not, it doesn't work like that anymore in the consumer and the buyer behavior. People will connect with brands that are relatable, that are more personable, that brands that stand for something, social causes and things like that. I tell people, I'm sorry, but you have to get behind the camera. You got to show your face. You got to get on the video, show your personality. It's so important. If you want to grow and make a difference, that's the way to be.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good one. What are some other things that come up? I know showing up is really difficult, like you mentioned. Is there anything even in the, I know strategy is a big part of that as well, especially if they are planning for something in particular.
I would say also consistency. Consistency and strategy are very important because, like, if you have consistent content going out and you know what type of numbers you're bringing in from that, or how many people are viewing your account, or how many website clicks that you're getting, then you can kind of work towards an attainable goal of how many followers you're going to get per month. And then you can kind of break it down like that and see like your expected growth. And then also, consistency, like if you just disappear for like a few weeks or something like that, people are going to forget who you are and then you're going to have to start all over again, right? So you have to post consistently and then have that content strategy in your back pocket. And then I think with that, you should be able to get some more attainable numbers.
Yeah, knowing your metrics is really key. I think it can be scary for sure. Because it's like this realization moment of all the effort that you've been putting in, whether a lot of my clients have even mentioned they've been spending like 4 or 5 hours every day trying to engage in comments, DMs, reaching out, hashtags, right? But it's not intentional in the sense that it may not be the specific people that they're looking for, or there's other methods and techniques that you can do to spend that much time or less. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it. It's like you can spend less time on getting more better results and then versus spending more time and not getting the right results, right? And also, like, you want to think about quality too, right? Because some people think the more content I produce, the more chances I have of getting more followers or making more sales, but it's actually the opposite. Like, you want to make sure you're creating valuable content and that it's good quality, right? Because I mean, you can have a post that took little effort that doesn't get much results, many likes, many comments, much engagement or any followers. And then you could have a post that, you know, you spent some more time and then you actually got the right, you know, what you wanted from it, right? So you could spend more time essentially and post less and get more results. Right. And then because I was working with this one person before and they thought that, you know, post more, but then didn't understand, like, you need to take the time to think about the caption, think about the graphic, think about all that you're hitting all the right points to get the best out of your post.
And especially with Black Friday, Cyber Monday, holiday season, just a new season for a new collection, perhaps, that people are working towards. What are some of the solutions or tools that you've used with your clients to help them get back on track?
I would say the best thing to get on track is to have a content calendar. So a monthly calendar with everything that you, like all what's coming up in your brand of the certain dates, plug those in, plug in the holidays, and then plug in your strategy, plug in what type of content you're going to share on what date, and then also the times too, because you want to be posting at the right time. So I would say that's the best way to get organized and stay on track. And then within that, you make like a to-do list and you set your priorities. You can even set reminders for yourself if you find that you may forget certain things, because you want to stay on track at the end of the day, right? But also you don't want to be stressed out. So just if you don't hit a certain day, like, don't get too upset about it. It happens. We're all human. And schedule posts out. That's another important one. If you batch your content, create it all in advance, then you can schedule it all. You know, I find taking a few hours a day just to do that is worth it more than just like spending 20 minutes to 30 minutes each day creating content and then schedule or posting it when you can just do it all in one day and then it's all ready to go.
Yeah. More intention, less work in the long run.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cause I'm all about systems and efficiency as well. So whenever I work with clients too, right, that we're all busy humans at the end of the day and nobody's got time for that. So just make it easier for yourself. It doesn't need to be hard.
Yeah. Exactly. It doesn't need to be complicated once you have the right systems in place, the right tools. I use Plan, which is a good scheduler, and they have a content calendar in there as well. And you can plan out like your content pillars and set reminders and stuff. So that's also a good tool. And it's not really pricey. Look into Plan for sure.
Yeah, there's so many different resources out there. So I'll link them in the show notes for people as well. Like Plan, like you're mentioning, even if for content calendars, if you want something that's easily shareable, you could just start off with an Excel doc, even with your team. Super easy and simple to implement, but also, yeah, Planoly, Later, Buffer. There's so many different options out there. So it's based on people's preferences to just get started, I think, to be able to have that automation in place and intention behind their content, but be able to free up time and actually have more time then to spend on engaging properly with the right people.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you want to have your content work for you, not the opposite way, right? So if you really like sit there and be like, okay, this day is our content day. We're going to be filming videos, taking photos. I'm going to be writing the captions in advance. And then you schedule it and then you have your whole week. you're good to go. You don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah, think about it, right? You don't need to post another one on the fly again. It feels so good. And so you worked with a lot of brands, Elena, like Venus, Head & Shoulders, and more. But if we're looking for cost-effective ways to approach organic marketing, that there's a lot of things on our plate as a business owner, but where would you put your efforts first?
I would say the first thing is social media. Instagram Reels, TikTok, and secondly, your website, because you can bring in a lot of traffic organically through your website. You want to make sure that you're showing up in the search results, that you're constantly updating your website to stay relevant. If you can, have a blog, because that's also going to help with your SEO. And just make sure you have a lot of like content on your site, like, because you have to have a minimum of like 300 to 500 words. Just make sure your website sells for you, right? Like if you have the right wording and the right call to actions, then you should be getting organic traffic. Like people are going to want to book a meeting with you or subscribe to your email or purchase something from your site. So I think it's content that converts in a way.
Yeah. Make it easy again.
And it's free. If you don't have time to do it yourself, you know, you can always outsource someone to do it for you, to write the copy, or yourself to do the graphic work, you know?
Yeah. Because even if you're investing your own time or you decide to outsource it to, you know, maintain content and whatnot too, but you're also paying for like hosting and everything as well for your website. So I do want to make sure people get their investment back and then some more for sure. But maybe, yeah, we've chatted a lot about this on our Instagram Live together, which I'll link in the show notes for people who want to check it out for sure. But the website's such a large part of ensuring that there's a clear and credible place for people to land, besides like a link tree or a, you know, like just a Calendly link, for example, which are great to start with. But like you're mentioning, people want to have a few questions answered maybe before they take that next step of booking a call or buying your product. So maybe let's chat a little bit about some of the techniques that listeners can do to ensure some of that conversion that you're talking about.
I would say use a lot of action words, power words, emotional words. You also want to make sure you're having the right amount of call to actions on your page as well. Like right after you explain a service or one of your services or one of your products, you want to have that call to action clear right there for people to be able to click and find out more information or purchase a product of yours.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good one. I would say too, we talked about like having those brand colors in place. So if you have a specific one that you use for accents, then at least using the same styling and colors every time will help like familiarize people with that action too. Whenever they see maybe that red button, because people love pressing a good red button, but yeah, just to have it consistent in there so that people know what to do next. It's really clear for people, and to have that accessibility of multiple prompts in that sense too, like you're mentioning. Even I feel like the flow of information sometimes can be really overwhelming for people. With clients, there's usually one of two challenges that come up, that either there's a lack of content. So whether it's graphics, branding, or writing itself, or on the other side, there's just way too much in the kitchen sink thrown in, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what would you say for both of those? What kind of approaches would you take?
I would say, yeah, you want to have a balance, right? You don't want to have too much content where people don't know what they're reading or where to go on your website. But then having not enough content can be confusing too, because people don't know what you're selling or what's your service or who you are and what you do. But just try to have, you know, just try to stay in between, somewhere in between. I would say if you don't have enough content, then that probably means you're not describing what you do and your services or your products. Then I would say really, really think about the content and just be more descriptive. Like you have to understand people don't know who you are yet. They don't know what you sell and what's in your product or things like that. So you kind of really just have to, you know, explain it, explain as much as you can, and just think about things in terms of the buyer and just be as descriptive as possible and use power words, you know, like I would say that's very important.
Driving that urgency is so helpful in terms of that, to take that next step, whatever that looks like for them. But even though they might be landing on your website for you, then it's actually still equally, if not more, about them and how you can be a benefit, right? Because we get lost in that sauce sometimes of like, oh, me, 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 and when you should be talking about them.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you, it's you versus me marketing, right? Like using words like you instead of me or I or we, that's going to help the reader or the person landing on your website really think that you're talking directly to them instead of like a whole wide audience of people, right? Like, and it sounds more personable that way, I would say. And if you can't think of, you know, if you can't think of much more words to write, then maybe have an infographic or some more images, or like record a small clip of you talking. Maybe that might help more. You can describe your product better that way. And maybe you're having a roadblock with your writing or something. So that might help as well. And then if your content is, you have too much going on, I would just really think about, is this necessary? Like, is this certain piece of content necessary for the reader to know? Maybe you can explain it in a different way or a shorter way or something more simple. Maybe you have too many images and they're all scattered all over the place. I would just say stick to one, you know, one image and then a text underneath, or an image and then a text on the side. So just really think, again, it's about the user experience, right? They want to have the best experience on your website, or they're going to go off of your website and go onto someone else's website. And then you just lost that person, right? When you could have instead had them stay longer on your site. And then if they're on your site for a longer amount of time, then more likely to convert, right? So I would say that's super important to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make a reason for them to stay and come back. It's kind of like your website. Yeah, exactly. Because your website and your social media is like that welcome mat into your home. So those impressions do count for sure. And people should not take it lightly. And people don't need to be scared either, right? In the sense that you can actually inject personality into it. You can still keep the experience really simple and easy to navigate. But at the end of the day too, that you can still add in some cheeky comments, perhaps, if that's kind of your brand and personality. But maybe ask yourself then as a prompt, what characteristics or personality does your brand have, and be able to emulate that into your content and your messaging.
Exactly. Because you don't want to like sound or look robotic or have your copy sound robotic either, because people don't want to read that. They're going to be super bored and they're not going to be into it. You know what I mean? Like, they want to read something that's going to be valuable and entertaining them in a certain way. And then that's what keeps their eyes on your page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned some really interesting things too, that you can still keep it really simple on the page for the content, but even varied layouts and stuff like that, just keep it of interest. Or color blocking is a great way for people to implement that and some of their brand awareness pieces. But this way, it doesn't need to be boring. You can switch it up and keep it interesting.
It's true. And like, even white space is something you can utilize on your site too. Like, you can have white space in between a call to action that really like zooms in on it, or a picture and then white space and then text, you know what I mean? Like, to really like lay out something for your reader, like you're directing them in that sort of sense, right? What to look at or what to read next, or like even with your font sizes, right? I saw this one interesting graphic of someone. It was like a graphic designer, and they were like there's like some meme or something, and then they're like, you're gonna read this first and then this second and then this third, and it was like the different sizes of fonts, and it was so true because you did actually read them in that order.
Yeah, exactly. It's really funny as it becomes more relatable for people that it really puts things into perspective. And so are there any final tidbits for social media, email marketing, or website techniques that you would recommend for higher conversions?
Yeah, let's talk about email marketing because we haven't talked about that yet. So for email marketing, I would say to keep it short and sweet, you want to have your subject lines, like the shorter the subject line, the better your open rate. So literally, like, you can even put three words, just something really attention grabbing that's going to, they're going to want to click on it. They need a reason to want to click on your email, and that's going to be through the subject line. So you want to pay attention to that and use like action words like now or free or this or sale or something, you know what I mean? So that, and then when within the content of your email, you also want to keep that short and sweet because one, we have a low attention span, and two, people don't want to read that much. They don't. They just want to get to the most important information and make their decision as quick as possible. And that is something you should keep in mind as well, right? They're not going to, sometimes I'm scrolling through my inbox and I see an email, okay, click on it. But then it's so long, I'm just like, you know what? I don't have time to read this. Get to the point. No fluff. We don't need fluff anymore.
I agree.
And nobody cares about that stuff.
Yeah. Or what are your feelings about gifts in email newsletters?
I like them. But it depends too. Like,
right.
Well, I think you can have gifts either if you're in B2B or B2C marketing. But I think they're great. They add some personality. I would say go for it.
Yeah. So these are great ways that you can implement visual cues as well to make things like really relatable, like you're mentioning with that previous graphic as well, that people have this light bulb moment in a way, like, oh, me too. In a sense, with your content, or even if you're coming out with a product launch, I love getting to see what they actually look like before I go in to click anything. So I think like a sneak peek is always helpful. So this way, yeah, keep the messaging short. If people are really actually interested and they see, you know, a sneak peek of what that actually looks like or why it's useful for them, then they're probably going to go click out. So it's helpful to have both for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then for social media, I mean, I think my biggest tip would be your best way to grow organically on social media is through Instagram Reels and through TikToks. So if you want to take advantage of that, I think you're going to like it because it works, man. It, trust me. Like one of my clients, I was recently doing their social media report and they've been with me for like a month and they've reached almost 60,000 people on just on TikTok and Instagram. So, and then you could be that person too, right? You got to use TikTok and Reels. Get yourself on video. It might sound scary at first, but you'll get used to it, right? You just keep practicing and...
Yeah, and you can make it fun for yourself. Like, they don't need to be boring.
Look at other people's videos for inspiration, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And as you get more comments and likes, I'm sure that you can see too what, or the insights rather, that you'll be more informed about what content to pour more energy into, right? So again, coming back to... like working less, but getting better results. These are ways that as you test things out that you will learn along the way.
Because essentially that's what it is too. It's like you're testing things out. You're not sure if your content's going to perform good initially, right? But when you look back at your metrics, you're able to see, okay, this content performed well, so I'm going to create more of that. Or this content didn't perform well, so scrap that. We're not going to do that again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a big mindset shift for a lot of business owners out there, is to just stop looking at social media or organic marketing in general as a chore, in the sense that make it fun for yourself to experiment and learn about what people need.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a chore like, oh, I got to do this or that or blah, blah, blah. No, it shouldn't be stressful. It should be fun. You should enjoy what you're doing. You know, put your own creative spin on certain types of content or certain trends in the industry. And that could make it according to, you know, like your branding too, right? Like you could have your brand colors in there or your fonts and things. So it doesn't have to be boring.
Absolutely. Well, I have a few rapid fire questions for you, Alina. Are you ready?
Let's go.
What are you currently celebrating?
I'm celebrating moving to BC.
Amazing. Well, fellow Canadian, so definitely cheering you on. And what is the number one thing that you want people to take away from this episode?
I want people to know that it is possible to grow organically if you put the right thought and effort into it, because I've seen the results for myself, for many other people. And it's just to have your content with intent, post content with intent. And it's possible. You just got to put in a little bit of groundwork. But once you see the results, it's so worth it.
Oh, I love that. And what is your bold legacy?
Just helping people grow. That's my biggest thing. I can't think of anything else. I love to see people grow. And yeah, I just want people to know that it's possible to grow if you have the right strategy in place and you put in the groundwork for yourself and for your business. And, you know, it takes a little time in the beginning, but afterwards, and when you see the results, you'll be impressed.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join in on the fun on the Brand Party podcast, Alina. Where can people find out more about you?
So you can find more about me on Instagram at alainacatherine.media. And I have all of my links there on my website or signing up for my mailing list. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
I appreciate it. And for those who are interested as well, Alina generously offered listeners of the Brand Party podcast an Instagram audit. So I'll link that in the show notes as well of how you can opt in and work together. And thank you so much again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being an example to others to have the courage to show up, follow through, and have fun while doing it. We come to the end of this episode of the Brand Party podcast, but the fun doesn't have to end here. Here's the details on the after party. I have an important question for you entrepreneurs out there. Have you taken every online training? Had a failed attempt to avoid some dodgy freelancers on Fiverr? And still feel overwhelmed building your own brand from scratch? What if there was a way to achieve brand clarity, consistency, and conversions? There was a way to do this through social media without decision fatigue. Would you finally commit to building a brand that was a true reflection of you? I want to show you how to create your bold legacy that you're so deserving of and design the life that you've always wanted so that you can step into your vision and connect with the people most important to you. In just 5 days together, the Brand Party Challenge helps entrepreneurs to identify core values, color palette, mood board, and to receive accountability and feedback from a safe community to come as you are and to celebrate your brand. When you RSVP to the Brand Party Challenge, you'll learn the clarity, consistency, and conversions that will allow you to take that vacation finally without the guilt that you should be working on your business while others struggle and make procrastination their middle name. Visit christineldesigns.com/brand-party-challenge to join in on the fun right now. See you there, my friend.